There he is. How's it going, Max?
Good. How you doing, man?
Good, good. Appreciate the time. Want to get into the Go Ahead and Die, the new album and the tour, and talk a couple other things with you along the way. But let's get into album number two, Unhealthy Mechanisms. I don't know how the hell you had any time to record this album, but you tell me, in between all the activity with your brother and the Soulfly tours, when did you start digging into this second album?
Yeah, we find time here, man. You know, there's always a little extra time that you can squeeze in and make something happen. But yeah, I think this is, I was really happy with the first record, but I think we could do better. One of those things like, yeah, I think the second album, we can be more focused, more, you know, sharper, go deeper. And we did, man. And I think Unhealthy Mechanism, very encouraged to kind of push Igor, to my son, to really kind of like run with this, you know. So I kind of like give him the keys of the car and like, you drive the car now, I just sit in the back, you know, and enjoy. So he produced the album, he wrote a shit ton of lyrics, he came up with the subject, he came up with a lot of the riffs. So it's cool. I'm in a band where I don't have to do everything, you know.
For once,
it doesn't have to be all my ideas, and I'm not the center of the universe. It's like, great. I've been fighting for this my whole life. But yeah, it's so cool, man. I Go Ahead and Die, it's like it makes me feel young again. It reconnects with the young Max state of mind when I was a kid playing metal just for the love of metal, which is great.
Yeah, I love that on both the albums, and even this one too, you can almost feel the dirt. It sounds like guys just sweating it out in the garage. It feels nice and grimy and thrashy. And that makes sense that you said your son wrote most of the music and lyrics and everything, so that made it a lot easier on you to fit it into your schedule, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, we did it together. Like, we did the first one. The first one started during the pandemic, and that's why we created the band. It was so... I was trying not to lose my mind, so I want to do something, stay busy. The second one, we kind of did it similar. We just kind of like went and did this routine of hanging out, listen to the stuff we like, get inspired, grab the guitars, and then, you know, bash out riffs. And then we did other things really cool. A lot of people don't know about this, but we'll take walks in the desert and we go for hikes. We live in Arizona, so there's a lot of desert around. So every time we went for a walk in the desert, I would joke with him. I say, okay, we're going in the we're going desert walking, searching for riffs.
I'm sure that's where Desert Carnage was born.
The desert is where all the riffs are.
Desert Carnage, of course, that makes sense now as a title for the tune, the opening track. I'm sure it was born out there.
That was born from that, but a lot of those hikes were great because every time we came back from those hikes, we grabbed the guitars and riffs just pour out of it. And I joke and I say, yeah, I told you, just got to go to the desert and you find the riffs.
I imagine that makes sense because there's no distractions, nothing around. You can just kind of clear your brain.
So if you're a guitar player and you're having you know, mental blocks, you can't write, go to the desert. And if you don't live in the desert, I think it works in the forest as well, or in the snow. I'm sure the snow will be just as fine.
Just get away from technology and everything. Just nature is the key.
Yeah, that's it. You know, but it was really cool. Like, the whole process of creating the album was very similar. We made demos first with Drum Machine. And then we got Johnny involved drumming. This is his first record with us. Of course, he plays with Igor in Healing Magic. Also drums with Black Braid. And we got Jackie playing bass. You know, she didn't do the record, but she's on the tour with us, which is really cool. You know, first time I'm in a band with a female person. It's new. It's different. It's quite cool, man. Actually, so there is you know, little different things about Go Ahead and Die that makes quite exciting and different.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned about her playing bass, because I was going to ask you how you filling out the live band, since it's only three recorded that, and you're going to need four for the live stage. But looking forward to seeing you in our market, coming back to the Glass House, going to be there on March 22nd in Pomona with a band called Deep Within, who I hadn't heard of before. What can you tell me about them?
Yeah, so we are very excited to... I always like gave a chance for opening bands. It's like an unwritten rule, man. You know, like, you're never really just good enough that you need to go out and just be just you, be the band that plays, and you don't give nobody a chance. You know, that doesn't fly with me. It's like, nah, we give break. It's cool. It's great to see all these young bands doing their thing. I'm a big fan. I'm a big believer and fan of metal in a first place, that I like a lot of these bands, and some of them I don't know. I discovered them on the day of the show, you know. I go check them out and they surprise the hell out of me, like, freaking amazing, you know. And that's what's cool on tours like this. We do have Body Box with us the whole tour. They're doing the whole run with us, and I toured with them before with Soulfly. They're great guys, great stuff. Tough, raw shit, man. And it's gonna be cool. I think I remember talking to a friend of mine, was Bob Marley's graphic designer, and we work on two Soulfly records, and we were chatting about Bob Marley, you know, and he told me something that sticks with my mind forever. He goes, you know, Max, the time to see Bob Marley was back in Jamaica when he played for 20 people.
Yeah.
In this little, you know, in a bar, you know, and he goes, that was the best Marley. Nobody got to see that, you know, and I was thinking, that's fucking cool, man. So that kind of like brings me back to more like this kind of shit. Like, people have seen me in festivals and you know, bigger Soulfly shows. But I think if you want to really see the, you know, Max in the Trenches, yeah, this is the tour to go see it. This is where you get to see the real thing, man, you know. So I'm excited for that.
And then now you have two albums to play with, too. It fill out the set list pretty easy with both those albums, right?
We do, yeah. And we have a couple other things we are working out. Some surprises, keep it.
Some covers, you know, maybe.
Yeah, little covers here and there, you know, some cool shit for the fans. But we are playing the entire second record.
Awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. The second record really hit me hard. It was good, man. It came out good. I think Arthur, the mix is great. Of course, Arthur Risk is, I've been working with him now for the last couple records. We did Totem. We did the Sepultura recordings, the Cavalera, you know, Morbid Visions, and he has the ability of making you sound good without losing the dirtiness and the rawness, yeah. You know, which is very rare, man. Only a few people can do that. And he has this ability of making this record sound great, that he's perfect for this kind of music. So especially on the Go Ahead and Die, I think this second record, it's brilliant the way he mixed it and the stuff that he put between songs and samplers and all that. It's really clear to me. It's like ear candy, you know, like, yeah. I put on my headphones and yeah, just really enjoy it, you know? And I think you're right. You can feel, it sounds like you're in the room with us. If you close your eyes with headphones, it's like you're in the room with the band, sweating and you know, just feel the rush that's coming out of the songs.
Love it. Love it. And I imagine there'll be a third record coming too eventually.
Third, it's going to be ahead. A while. It's, I you know, because I have so many bands, I have to make calendar lists. So I don't even own a calendar, but you know, I'm just kidding. I go things by things. I have to do work on a Soulfly record around this year. So hopefully I have one next year. Also, Killer BQ is another really cool project that I can't forget. And I love the guys. And I think we should definitely do, a third record. But yeah, one thing at a time, you know. Right now we have this cool tour. It's 50 some dates. It's an awesome run. Couldn't ask for a better way to start the year than a tour like this. I think it just kicks the year the right way. And we have some festivals for Soulfly and Cavalera in the summer.
Great.
And then writing the Soulfly record. It's gonna be a busy year, but yeah, I'm excited for it, man. And I heard this is the year of the dragon, so it's real metal. It's a metal name for the year, so I think it all lined up for a great metal year, you know.
I love it. And you touched on Soulfly and wanted to get into that. I mean, you're talking about a new record. Are we locked on guitar? Is it still Mike De Leon, or are we still leaving that chair open, or?
Yeah, I'm leaving it open for now. I mean, Mike is gonna jam with us. We have some festivals in the US. I think we're doing Rockville and another one, and we're also doing the Lamb of God boat.
Oh, yeah, Headbangers Boat.
The cruise, that should be fun as hell. And you know, Mike will play with us for that. He's a great guy. I love Mike. And I don't know. It's too early to know what exactly where am I gonna go with this record? If I'm gonna try to find somebody else to record, or if we're just gonna run roll with Mike. And we don't know yet. You know, I haven't even. I have like a few riffs written. I still gotta go desert walking for Soulfly. And find some riffs for that.
Do you have to do that? Do you have to literally write for whatever record you're working on, or do you put riffs aside for certain records? Does a riff hit you and you go, "Oh, I got to save that one for this band"?
Yeah, I mean, when I locked in on a project, you know, I get very obsessed with the project, you know. So I become so obsessed that everything I'm writing is for this, and I know exactly what it needs, what kind of sound I'm looking for. And Soulfly, I kind of like planning a little bit of a return to the early sound, kind of the big groove tribal sound.
Love it.
We'll return to Soulfly. I think a lot of fans want that. I love that. I think it's kind of like a trademark of Soulfly that kind of got lost in the shuffle through the years. We went more into the thrashier side of stuff, but now, you know, that I have, you know, Go Ahead and Die, that I can trash all I want in it. I can have Soulfly be a little bit more what it was in the beginning, more about that. The whole tribal thing, which is really cool and unique, you know, it's a unique thing that Soulfly has. So we're gonna probably go back more to that, which should be really cool.
Looking forward to it. And, you know, talking about your career, I mean, every probably month, every day is another anniversary for your career and projects that you've worked on. But one in particular, I feel like I have to bring up because it was an important record for me, the infamous Nail Bomb record. That being the 30th anniversary of Nail Bomb this year, and kind of wanted to talk a little Nail Bomb with you. Who was it that connected you with Alex Newport to begin with?
So that was kind of, I think we got a bunch of records from the owner of Earache, Digby. He used to come to see us in Nottingham. And in one of those boxes, there was a fudge ton of record in there. And I fell in love with this record called Hate Songs in E Minor. And it's still today one of the heaviest records of all time. But I didn't really connect with Alex until we went on tour together and they opened for us in Europe and also in America with Fear Factory and Clutch. And he started dating Gloria's daughter, my stepdaughter, and he kind of moved in with us. So he was living 5 seconds from my house. So every afternoon, Sepultura was all on vacation. Like those guys are all in the beach in Brazil, you know, enjoying life, like you know, in the beach, like big rock stars. And I'm like, I don't want to go on vacation. I want to work. I want to fucking do shit with my life. You know, I want to keep doing shit. So I got together with Alex, start writing stuff, you know, because there was nothing really it didn't really start even as a serious thing. We were just doing for fun. We're just jamming. I want him to show me how does he does those fucking heavy riffs on Hey Minor, and he want me to show him how I do the trash pickings. So we were just,
Trading.
one guitar player to the other, just shooting the shit, man. And then Gloria came in the room and it's like, I'm turning this into a record. You guys just keep going. And that's how Nelbomb was born, really kind of like out of nowhere, kind of thing. But yeah, it's a monster of a record. I love this album. Still sounds great today, man.
It does.
Production, it's a cool production. I mean, I think it was kind of like we like Ministry, but we want a Ministry to be heavier.
Yeah.
It's like, can Ministry, it'd be so cool if Ministry was heavier, man, or Nine Inch Nails was heavier. So we just made our own, what you don't have, you create. That's how it goes,
I love it, man. I love that record. And I it's funny because I recently talked to Dino Cazares, who toured with you not too long ago in Soulfly. And I was telling him and tell you, like, I think the two of you making a record, I would love to hear another industrial, like you said, heavier Ministry record out of you. I think there's more meat on that bone for you that Nailbomb just kind of gave us a sample of.
So yeah, so I need to start another project with
Yes,
Dino.
exactly.
Okay.
As if you need
Far.
another project, but just every time I listen to Nailbomb, it just leaves me wanting more. And I think you're right. I think there is a room for a heavier Ministry, and you're the perfect person for that.
Yeah, I mean, I love Dino, man. I love jamming with Dino. And on that tour we did, we got to really hang out a lot. The two things that are great about Dino, he's always up to write shit, to make stuff. He's always ready, and he's got all the stories like that. Like you want metal stories, you just go hang out with Dino, and we'll keep. Sometimes in the bus, I think we talk to 3 in the morning. We'd be bullshitting, and he tells in all the stories, and it's so fun, man. It's like. And that's really kind of like how you get to know the guys in your band is when you're rolling deep in the night
Yeah.
in the bus. That's when you get to, that's where you click with your bandmates, man. And that was cool having Dino with a little short run that we did. It was quite magical. It was really cool. And I think the fans really liked that as well.
Yeah, you doing the Fear Factory tunes? I mean, that just fed it even more. You were playing like Replica and a couple of tunes on that tour with Dino.
Yeah, I was always a big Fear Factory fan from the beginning. From when I heard the demo, I told Monty from Roadrunner, you have to fucking sign these guys, man. You'd be dumb if you don't sign them. Man, it's great. They're a killer band, and yeah, like I say, I think like yeah, Dino's riffs and his right hand are pretty intense, man. It's kind of like. It's a unique. He's got a unique vibe to the way he plays. It's really fun to be part of it. And that was the thing that when we got him to play with Soulfly, I was actually just thinking, oh my gosh, these songs are gonna be insane with Dino's sound on it. And it was, man. Like a lot of the material we play, which was early Soulfly stuff. So especially Soulfly 3 and Prophecy, the way Dino plays them with that right hand chugging, they pop. They came to life, and it was really cool. It was great to hear that.
Well, maybe I could just talk you into one Dino song on the new Soulfly record that has that industrial feel to it, rather than a whole record. Maybe we can just
There
get
you go.
one.
That might be easier.
A little bit more realistic. Max, I appreciate all the time. Last thing I wanted to hit you with, we're an old school radio station. We do a feature called Mandatory Metallica, and we've talked before. You told me the amazing story about getting your hair cut for Ride the Lightning. But wanted to dig into, you did an Ozfest with Metallica, that one Ozfest that one year. I think it was in Texas or somewhere in Texas.
Yeah.
Did you get to spend any time with the guys? Did they watch your set? Did you watch their set? Talk to them, interact with Metallica?
Yeah, so we got to jam in their jam room, which was quite surreal to me as a Brazilian kid that growing up, worshiping Metallica and got to go in the room and jam and it was like we were doing a tribute to Dimebag, and it was me and my brother, and I think Scott Ian was playing guitar, King Diamond was singing. So this room was like packed with power. And then Kirk Hammett walks in and sits down, and he wants to check out the jam, you know. And we were wearing the same Vans, you know, so he was talking about my Vans, and it was quite cool. I tried to keep cool, but inside of me, the young Max was like dying, like, oh shit, this is insane, man. But no, I love Metallica forever. Like I think it's an incredible run that of stuff, just killer music they put out through the years.
Yeah, absolutely. And good to hear that even you and how long you've been doing this, you still get a little starstruck and you're gripping the guitar a little bit tighter when Kirk Hammett walks in the room.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I tried to control my fanboyism, but it was tough. But I kept it cool. But it was definitely exciting, you know. I mean, I remember one time we played San Francisco. I think it was Sepultura's second tour, The Omni, and we heard the Metallica guys were coming to check the show out, you know, and I was fucking shaking like, oh fuck. And I remember that I heard they were around, so I kind of ran to the front of the venue to see if I see, and I saw the three of them coming in, you know, and Hatfield had the shaved head at the time, you know, with the shaved sides. And that was cool. We didn't meet them at that night, but it was cool just to know that they were there watching us, you know.
And yeah,
I think we play a little harder because of that.
I'd imagine you would.
We went a little extra hard that night.
Headbanging a little bit heavier that night, a little harder that night.
Everything pushed to the limit a little bit, you know. Let's give it more tonight, you know.
Love it. And that's what's cool about them and even yourself. I mean, ultimately, what you do, what I do, ultimately, just a fan of this music. And at the end of the day, we're all just fans of this heavy music. And great that a band at that level is still just fans of this music.
Yeah, man, I think that's the ultimate cool thing about being in the metal world is that musicians, we don't shy away from that, you know.
No.
Once you have the opportunity to express whoever it is that you like, you know, I think you do it, you know. I think I saw a YouTube video of I think it was James and Kirk headbanging in a Judas Priest show,
right? Yeah, at the Power Trip Festival.
Right, that was fucking cool. It's, you know, that's it. That's right there. You know, that's what it's all about, right there, man. It's amazing. It's a great motivation, I think, and I think also great motivation for young kids watching that. They're like, you know, maybe one day you'll be on that position to do the same kind of shit, you know.
Absolutely. Just to put a button on Metallica, do you have a song we could play for you on Mandatory Metallica?
Well, everybody's expecting to pick something old, but I'm gonna go with something a little more modern.
Okay.
So I really like Lux Eterna from the new album.
Yeah, very like Motorhead Overkill.
Yes, yes. And I think they hit a nerve on that song. It's I wanted more of that. they should have done the whole record like that. It would be fine by me, man, you know. Because I remember I heard that when I first heard that song, I was like, oh shit, this is straight out of Kill 'Em All, man. This is fucking insane. Yeah, I really like that track a lot. It's a really good one.
Beautiful, Max. Thank you so much for the time. Always a blast and honor to talk to you. And I'll see you out there at the Glass House in March.
All right, brother.
Thank you.
Take care, man.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Dude, you absolutely rock. Thank you so much for checking out the entire interview. Now just hit subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast, Radioactive Mike Z. My interviews in their entirety, available on all the major platforms. TuneIn, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, whatever you're listening to right now. Just hit the subscribe button. Make sure to give me a follow on the socials as well. I'll follow you back at MikeZ967. And bro, don't miss the radio show. Now 10 p.m. to midnight on 96.7 KCAL Rocks in the Southern California Inland Empire area, Riverside, San Bernardino County. Always streaming on live at kcalfm.com. You, my friend, absolutely rock. Dude, you absolutely rock. Thank you so much for checking out the entire interview. Now just hit subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast, Radioactive Mike Z. My interviews in their entirety, available on all the major platforms. TuneIn, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, whatever you're listening to right now. Just hit the subscribe button. Make sure to give me a follow on the socials as well. I'll follow you back at MikeZ967. And bro, don't miss the radio show. Now 10 p.m. to midnight on 96.7 KCAL Rocks in the Southern California Inland Empire area, Riverside, San Bernardino County. Always streaming on live at kcalfm.com. You, my friend, absolutely rock.